Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning, your living word. We pray that as we reflect upon it for a little while, you will come and touch us again with your Holy Spirit and really speak into our hearts this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure about you, but I don't think I'm the only one who starts to feel a little bit jaded at this time of year. A little bit anxious, perhaps, more than a little weary, and maybe even feeling a little bit empty. I'm never quite sure why this is. Maybe it's the dark nights and mornings. Maybe it's the cold wintry weather. Or maybe it's the feeling that my spiritual life is not all that it could be. Each year at the beginning of Advent, I have a really good talk to myself. I pick up a lovely book of Advent readings, and I try to discipline myself to spend time with God, really soaking in the Advent words. But often, I can't quite seem to settle. Of course, this is not something that is entirely unique to this particular time of year. And I'm sure if we look over the span of our lives, then you, like me, you will see that there have been times of dryness or barrenness, sometimes times of despair that has gnawed away at our insides for longer periods of time, days, weeks, months, or maybe even years. But hopefully, as you look back, you will also see there have been times when the desert has blossomed and bloomed, and you'd thought that the good times would last forever. These highs and lows are part of our human life. They happen within us, and as we look at the world outside, we can see it happening on the bigger stage too. The economy goes through times of boom and times of bust. Recession, depression, recovery. Words that are used to describe our inner lives often get applied to the world of finances and markets. For the fact is that none of us are immune to the ups and downs of life, the joys and the sorrows that come our way. All of us have known at one time or another, feeling that's described in Isaiah's vision as being like grass withering before a hot wind, or the feeling of standing in the midst of a wilderness, looking for a road out, even a small track. But sometimes all we see are deep valleys and towering peaks, and how we just long for someone to come and fill in the valleys and level the mountains. Well, all of our readings this morning speak of such a time. The message from Isaiah, from 2 Peter, and the beginning of Mark's Gospel tells us that there is someone who longs to do that for us, just as much as we have been longing to have it done. God has seen your suffering and your hungering, and you have suffered long enough. God has seen you struggling under a sense of misgiving about what you have done and who you have been, and says to our hearts this day, your sins are forgiven. God knows us so well. He has seen the peaks and valleys of our lives, and he promises us a savior. The hills will become a plain, and the rough country will be made smooth, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and there'll be no insurmountable object left between you and the joyous embrace of the Lord our God. And where you once only found loneliness and vulnerability and fear, now you will find yourself gathered into the loving arms of God, like lambs in the arms of a tender shepherd. You see, the good news this morning to us is that God's intention for us are loving intentions. God's great desire is to bring comfort, to wipe every tear from our eyes, and to make safe and welcoming and nurturing a world that we once experienced as hostile and unyielding. God's desire is to restore hope where there has been deadness, to restore joy where there has been despair, to bring comfort where there has been mourning, to renew our dry and barren places so that once again they may blossom in fertility and creativity and beauty. And something to remember. The good news is that we don't have to try harder and struggle harder to feel better. The good news is that God is ready and willing and waiting to change things for us. God wants to break into our lives, to fill the dry and empty spaces with love and celebration. That's what God wants to do for us. And all we're asked to do is to get ready for it, to prepare ourselves, to prepare in the wilderness a way for the Lord to come. Wonderful story from Mark's Gospel this morning of John the Baptist coming into the wilderness saying, "Prepare, the time is at hand. Prepare in the wilderness a way for the Lord." And Peter writes, "I know you feel like the Lord is delaying forever, but he is not willing to lose a single person. And remember that 1,000 years are but a day for our God. So prepare for his coming." So how do we make that preparation begin in our lives? Well, I think it's quite both simple and maybe difficult for us. Because all God wants us to do is to come before him, to open our hearts to him, to allow him to look at us, to see what's happening in our lives, to gaze upon us. And that's all we have to do. Just allow that to happen. But it's hard, isn't it? We're always coming before God and we've got all these things we're wanting to say to him. Like the prodigal son starting on the journey back home to his father. He's got all this stuff in his head about what he's going to say to his father. Doesn't realize that his father's been longing for him just to come home. He's been waiting to look at him, to gaze upon him. And he comes running down the road and he doesn't want to hear all the things that the boy's got to say. He already knows how he's been feeling and what's been happening. I've got a wonderful picture at the foot of my bed and it's a painting of Rembrandt's Return of the Prodigal. And it's the first thing I see when I open my eyes in the morning. And I go, "Oh Lord, here I am again. Here I am again. I'm just wanting to return to you this morning." And it's the last thing I see before I switch off the light at night. And I go, "Lord, here I am again. Tried my best today, but that's not what you were wanting. You just wanted me to come before you, to allow you to look at me in all my brokenness, that you might begin to fill me again, that I might begin to know how much I am loved. And so I task you in the weeks leading up to Christmas, just sit before the Lord. Let him look at you. He knows who you are. He knows the valleys that we sometimes fall down, valleys of despair. He knows the mountains that we face in our lives and we think we can't climb up to the top. He doesn't want us to struggle along like that. He just says, come to me. The Advent reading that I read this morning was that, well, lovely words from Matthew. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come before the Lord. Allow him to speak to you afresh in these weeks of Advent, that you might know these wonderful words in Isaiah, where it starts in the wilderness with a people who have suffered long enough and ends with God taking care of his flock like a gentle shepherd, gathering the lambs together and carrying them in his arms. God does not wish us to continue struggling without reason, but asks us to prepare a place for him in our wilderness places, to open ourselves up, to let him meet us, so that we can allow him to gather us in his arms and carry us to safety in the fullness of resurrection life, with all its joy and hope and growth and freedom and love and peace. And so may you know his comfort, and may his hope grow in you in these days. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.